Meeting is being recorded.
All right, Dan, take it away.
Can the people online tell who's here?
Yeah,
only by viewing it, right?
Yeah, they would be able to see.
Okay, let's go ahead and do a roll call. Each one of you want to speak up and say you're here?
John Hanson.
Turn on the mic when you do that.
John Hanson.
Neil Chambers.
Jim Malinowski.
Lloyd Ligon.
Mark Daniels.
John Schaefer.
And Daniel Weaver, I'm here.
Danielle Cowley.
Kevin Tyler.
And Becky.
Steve Chigulski, landowner. Rock Houston, Clark County, Public Works.
And then online, do you want those folks to go as well?
Yeah, go ahead.
Kent Cash.
Kent Cash.
Rick Tenice.
Rick Tenice.
Eric Fuller.
Eric Fuller.
Mark Hersig.
Mark Hersig.
And then we had Jackie Lane on the call as well.
And this is Ben Ritter. I'm on the call now, too.
Did you say Ben Ritter?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Have you read the minutes as distributed? Do I hear a motion for approval?
So moved.
Been moved. We approved it. And seconded by Lloyd that we approve the minutes as distributed. Any questions, comments, or corrections? All those in favor of approving the minutes as distributed, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Was that for approving or opposing?
Approval.
Approval.
Right, thanks.
And just for the record, who made the movement? Is that you, Jim?
Okay, thank Jim Malinowski and Lloyd seconded it. Okay, I'm going to ask you, Kevin, to read the report from BYCX. I can hand you my copy of it.
Did you put it in the agenda?
Yep. Somebody did. Oh, no, maybe not. I this is from my own.
Okay, this is from Randy Williams, president of BYCX. Kevin and Dan, sorry there will not be a BYCX board member present at the June Rail Advisory Board meeting. Both Doug Alberg and myself will be out of town, so here is a synopsis of our activities in May. Engine 1 is repaired. Multiple minor electrical issues have been corrected. The water leaks that damaged the cab have been repaired. The previous flooring warped due to water damage and was removed, and new flooring was installed. This will allow BYCX to resume normal operations Father's Day weekend with trains at noon and 2:30 Saturday and Sunday. Track repair at milepost 25.3. The damage from a resulting vehicle accident at the S-curve was repaired by Westrail. Thank you, Kevin. track inspections. Washington State Utilities and Transportation Commission, UTC, conducted track inspections from milepost 24.5 to milepost 20 over 3 days in mid-May. The UTC inspector, Dan Larson, commented that the BYCX tracks were looking much better compared to previous inspections. Some minor items were loose bolts and a few bad ties at joints. There were no violations or conditions that will prevent operations. We will be planning track repairs late June and early July. Vandalism to BYCX caboose number 10559. When we had problems with our diesel engine in December 2021, we dropped our two cabooses at Moulton Station, approximately milepost 24.3. We do not have security cameras at that location. Sometime around Memorial Day weekend, some teens pelted our caboose with rocks, breaking out one window, and then continued to throw rocks through the broken out window and broke two more windows on the other side of the caboose. We are in the process of procuring FRA Type 2 safety glass replacements. A report was filed with the Clark County Sheriff's Department, which is attached to this correspondence. BYCX was alerted that there was a post in Instagram showing the damage. The link was also attached. Town of Yackel Carnival, there was a town carnival sponsored by Impact Auto Repair held on May 23rd. The carnival was set up on the vacant acreage north of the railroad parking lot. Certificate of liability insurance, both from the carnival provider and Impact Auto, were furnished to Clark County, BYCX, and PVJR. Steam engine number 10, the 1472 inspection is going well. Currently, we are waiting for replacement stay bolts. The manufacturer is having production issues due to manpower shortages. Once those bolts are received and installed, we can proceed with replacing the boiler tubes. Our steam mechanic has been in contact with the traveling FRA inspector to coordinate inspections in a timely manner. Upcoming activities. Rumor has it that the traveling train robbers will be in the area targeting our trains the third weekend in July and third weekend in August. Also, during a recent seance, it was predicted that a headless horseman may appear on the last weekend in October, just before Halloween. Sorry about not being in attendance, but I hope this helps. Randy.
Can I ask that those be attached to the meeting minutes distributed next time? And just you can show those to everybody. The pictures attached apparently are the text message that was sent out showing the people throwing the rocks. they pictured themselves and then posted it online. Yeah. I have to tell you a quick story. I had some people that stole a video camera of mine, and we retrieved it later, and the video was still in it. The video was in it, and they had taken a picture of themselves sitting around joking. I mean, I think the guy's girlfriend was taking it because she had the camera sideways. Anyway, a picture of all of them sitting around talking about what they got. So these can be stupid. All right, Kevin, you want to talk to us about the county activities?
Yeah, sure. First, I'd like to introduce Danielle Cowley, sitting to your left there, Dan. Danielle is our new lands coordinator, and she will be helping Rocky and myself with managing the county railroad. So she'll be helping out with railroad advisory board meetings and all the other fun stuff that we get to do at the county. It's one of many responsibilities, but that we both have, including managing legacy lands and our forestry program and noxious weed control programs. But we're also managing the railroad these days. So I wanted to introduce Danielle to all of you so that you could see her face and know that she'll be in attendance at these meetings moving forward and be involved.
Could she tell us a little bit about it?
Yes.
Sure. So I've done work for the county about 20 years, 15 as a permanent employee, and I used to, the last 10 years, ran the noxious weed control program on county land. So I did the county railroad. I've ridden the whole rail from Ryle, Lampa-Shalachi, worked with Cahill quite a bit. So I'm very familiar with the railroad, which is helpful. And now I am in a different hat, doing the conservation lands program and then also the railroad, supporting you guys. So, yeah, looking forward to getting to know you all. I'm a local, so born and raised, been around this part of the town. So, yeah, looking forward to working with you guys. Fort Vancouver. Yeah.
Thanks, Danielle. So other updates from the county. The roadbed rehabilitation project under grant RRB 1230, we're working towards the final set of specifications and estimate to get that project out to bid. Looked at staff report and notice to contractors today, so we're targeting September, I think it's September 6th, as when bids would be received, and so that means that the notice to contractors will be published in early August, so about 30 days before that. So everything is progressing nicely on that project. The other grant, have been continuing to work with Eric Temple at Portland Vancouver Junction Railroad and with our partner at the state of Washington to get that grant agreement and the scope of work finalized with what we're building, what we're doing essentially. So we're making good progress there, and our project manager is going to be taking the reins and getting the project rolling. So looking forward to that one moving again. And then we had two things to cover. So I'm going to pass around the roster, which is should have all of your names and contact information on it. For those of you that are here remotely, we will email it out after everyone here has gone through it. We'll just ask that you make sure that all of your contact information, mailing address, phone number, email, et cetera, is correct and accurate and up to date, and then we'll make any changes that need to be made. And then the other thing I'm gonna pass around is a list of affiliates, essentially. So names of people who are on the board or who have been interested in this board in the past. And again, so check that for, if your name's on there, check it for your contact information. And also, if you feel like somebody should be on this list that isn't, go ahead and write their name on the back, and then we'll make sure and get the contact information on here. So pass it this way. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about is sent some correspondence about Open Public Meetings Act and making sure that we go through the training. So if you did not see that email from me and did not see those links to the state website to take that online training, please let me know. If you have taken the training, we're gonna ask you to certify that you've taken the training and then keep that in our record. So you'll sign and say that, yes, I did do that training. It was provided by the county in an online format. So if you want to see me after the meeting, if you've done it, and you can sign your form. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about because you missed the email, let me know and we'll cover that one-on-one.
It came out on the 12th of May.
Yeah. And I was also informed that the state is just recently took that website down and is updating their training. So if you did it before, great, you're in good shape. But if you tried to click on it in the last couple of days, it's maybe down. So just, again, let me know and we'll work through it together. And I don't, they didn't give a timeline on the website. There were some changes made by the legislature to that particular law. So, and that's all that I have right now.
Okay, thanks. Next thing is the on the agenda is the bylaws, the code, and mission statement. Kevin, or Kent, would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
Let me see.
Just a moment here.
And while he's getting organized, in your packet, you should have the existing bylaws, a copy of the changed proposed bylaws that have a draft stamp on them, draft watermark on them. And then same thing with the mission. There should be a mission that's current and then a proposed mission.
So what we did on the bylaws, is there a lot of feedback?
No, you're good.
Okay. We took the existing bylaws and put them into a format that was a little more routine and ones that I've worked on before. So there's not a lot of significant changes. If you wanted to go through the bylaws, you want to pair up the existing bylaws and the new bylaws and just read through them. Dan, I don't know if you wanted to highlight a few of the more significant things that were changed.
If you want to go ahead, I mean, if they're going to read them, they're going to read them and understand, I guess, where they are.
Yeah, I would just read them and we can address them. Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few pages, so maybe we could put on the agenda next month to review these and incorporate any comments.
Yeah, I'll ask that you review the bylaws and compare them. If you have any concerns or questions, then bring them up at the next meeting. I'll talk a little bit about the mission statement. The mission statement, we went through this a couple of times with drafts, not in this board meeting, but in private, and I think it started with Jeff Swanson, and it may have gotten some input from who was the lady before? Carolyn Hingis. But at any rate, I ended up with a draft of a mission statement in my files, and I no indication of who drafted it and how it got to where it would, but it all sounded pretty good to us. And that's the revised mission statement you see from what we had before. And you have copies of both of those in your information. Take a look at that, too. I think the latter one is more succinct and better describes what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. And we'll also talk about that and vote on it at the next board meeting. And then the other thing is the, where is it? The code. You want to talk about that, John, at all?
Well, until Kevin and Rocky pointed out, we didn't even know that the Railroad Advisory Board was specifically addressed in the Clark County Code, but it is, and it was addressed a long time ago. And at the time that it was set up, there was a lot more interest by a lot more people in it, so it set out a lot of people that could belong, that had a reserved spot on the board. Things like the Department of Transportation, the U.S. Forest Service, and the Chamber of Commerce, and this board has evolved based on what's going on with the railroad. And if we were to call up the Forest Service today and say, hey, who do you want to report to this board? They go, who, what? And they wouldn't appoint anybody. So what we've done is we've changed it so that really we don't have any reserved spots for any individual group, but that the board evaluates the needs of the going forward. A good example is back when Lagler was first coming up, and we knew it was right between the city of Battleground and it was outside the urban growth boundary, but it was kind of right between the city of Battleground and the city of Vancouver's sphere of influence. We had Bill Ganley from the city of Battleground. He was a city councilman. We had, I forget who it was, that was head of development for the city of Vancouver, so that if there was a problem, we could kind of hash these things out within the board, so we kind of could go ahead without stepping on anybody's toes. That the city of Vancouver knew what we were doing, the city of Battleground knew what we were doing, and we ended up finding out that the city of Battleground could not extend sewer to the Lago property because of Salmon Creek. They couldn't get across Salmon Creek, so that ended up being Vancouver's sphere of influence, so we didn't have to worry about stepping on Battleground's toes. And those are the kind of things. If we see problems come up, we want to get people on the board that we can address these problems early on. And those things change as we go. And now we're seeing, you know, like Shalashi Prairie is, you know, we almost had a rock pit up there that these guys wanted to have the railroad all the way out there. So now we have Jim on the board, you know, that the only guy that was willing to drive in from all the way out there for these meetings. And so that's what we want to get in the code, that the board can assess what the challenges are coming forward and adjust the board so that we have the people on board that can assess those problems and meet the needs, so that when we advise the county, we have the experts on board that can advise them for the problems that are coming up, not only the ones we got right now, but the ones that are coming up in the future, so we don't trip over our you-know-what every now and then. We still might, but not on purpose.
But at any rate, we're proposing that. That obviously has to go through the county council, and they do that once a year, look at the code sections, I think.
They used to do biannual code changes, so they would do them in the spring and the fall, but it's been a couple of years since I've seen one of those pop up, so I'll have to ask.
Yeah. So we'll look at that. If you have any comments on it, give it to us next meeting, but at any rate, that's the purpose of doing that. So then our code, it also changed a bit because we're now the county council as opposed to the commissioners, so that it's based on the home rule charter. And the same thing with our bylaws, so that those are all updated. They all have to be run through the county council to get approval. So anyway, give us comments next time, and we're going to ask you to vote on it. You can send me a note beforehand, or you can vote here in person when you want to next time. Any questions right now on that? All right, before I go on, I want to do a quick comment on the PVJR car count. I was looking at that, and Eric said that they were doing pretty good in his note. I assume you guys all got that. So he's doing pretty close to the level that he was doing way back in 17 and 18. So he's building back his business in spite of the situation with the county legal action.
Yeah, he's lost 5 years. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the COVID didn't help him at all.
Right.
Probably would have lost most of that anyway. Okay. On to the next thing. I want to talk about. And Rick, I know you're online. If you have any comments on this, you can make them as I go along, or if you want to wait till the end and make a comment. But I'm going to talk about the meetings that John and I held with the Brush Prairie folks to try to talk through some of the issues that I guess we're all were spurred by the meeting that was held at the Hawkins and High School, when we felt that it was poorly represented to the community by the planning group. Anyway, we had some informal meetings back, starting even in 18 and 19, I'm looking back at my emails, but earnestly we started to develop a plan to have a subcommittee in late 2020 and then started up in early 2021. And met with four or five of the folks from Brush Prairie who were interested in a dialogue with us. And John and I did most of those presentations. I think Dick Claremont was involved in one or two of them. But we met with them and tried to address some of the issues that they had. They gave us a number of concerns that were had been posted previously and that had been presented to the counselors along the way. But the major meeting items are there outlined in this document that I gave you. Before that, there's an attachment that says the goals of the that are the goals of the railroad. That's a letter to Rick Denise dated May 12th, which I kind of went through in verbiage of what we were looking to do. And then behind that is a letter to the county councilors that the last recommendation that I made to the councilors dated September 26th of 18. That talks about the agenda we'd like to push forward, would give the railroad a chunk of property in the Brush Prairie area, which is primarily the Lagler property. If you look at that, that encompasses approximately 1,200 acres in total, of which 300 has already been approved by the county councilors as being set aside as FRDU property. But the remainder is what we are recommending, which is a big chunk of the Lagler properties, either owned by Lagler himself or through related parties and his sons. And that was what we were recommending. And that's the map you see there. The dark squared off portion is what I had recommended in that memo to them as those of you who are involved remember the big kidney-shaped thing that was outlined in the green was what the county planning group presented at that meeting in Hawkinson, which outraged everybody.
Including us.
Including us. at any rate, the dark squared-off piece is what we had final recommendation. And that does extend to a mile from the track. And the only reason for being a mile is that it does incorporate all of the Lagler properties in there. So that's the last recommendation that we've made to the county council. At any rate, then we went through the meetings. That third item in there, I'll talk about in a minute. We went through meetings and covered these six main areas, and there was a lot of discussion that, you know, fell outside this, inside this, and around this that was held during that time period. And at that same time period during 2021, I was contacted by the transportation group to have representation on a transportation sounding board, which is the previous one before you get a public hearings and start developing the plan and all that. So it's just getting information from the public, and they wanted representation of someone from the railroad. And I attended, I didn't count them up, but there's at least a dozen meetings that they held, and most of which didn't apply to the railroad, but there was a section that did apply to the railroad. And I spoke up, and they did take note, and I believe they are including in their plan going forward is the property around Brush Prairie and where we were looking at developing that the railroad crossings there, many of them are uncontrolled crossings without lights or anything, just a posted sign saying railroad crossing. And that was one of the big concerns that the people, the folks from Brush Ferry had, was safety in and around that area. And if the trains were going to be in and out of there, the safety became even more important. Plus the fact there's, you know, if you have an accident in there, the people in that upper Brush Ferry area lose access to the road because they're just blocked in. That one road going in and out of that Cedars development up there is totally blocked off if there's a train problem at that crossing. So anyway, I did that. I incorporated that with the discussion with them. And then the results of that is in the memo that Rick wrote back to us in the day of that. Yeah, it does. December 17th. Yeah, December 17th, 2021. And basically, they were on the front end. They were saying that basically that they were not in support of doing the freight rail dependent uses in the Brush Ferry area. And they had a proposal, and then they had a whole series of concerns, which are outlined in their memorandum very carefully. I won't go through all of those. And at any rate, that ended up that John and I didn't talk hard enough, I guess, to convince them that the railroad was better for Clark County. Rick, do you want to add anything to that?
No, Dan, I think that was a good summation. What I would say is that when we selected this group to represent the neighborhood, it was a collection of individuals that had been involved with a lot of the FRDU developments over the last few years. So there was, you know, obviously some folks that had attended that initial meeting and then had been, you know, keeping close tabs with everything going on related to the FRDU and the railroad all along the way. I would say that the good cross section of folks that we had, you know, in that group, had homes all up and down the line from Cedars all the way south, and a variety of different demographics, backgrounds, you know, college educations, you know, stuff of that nature. So, of what that group came to the conclusion on, and then basically I put all these pieces together, typed them up, and then submitted it to Dan and John. But we do want to, I think, echo that we really appreciate, you know, the dialogue that we had, and you know, I think a lot of the information that they gained from having those conversations as well. So that's what I would add.
Rick, you know, the thing that struck me was that, you know, option one is disband the FRDU proposal and sell off and abandon the railroad. That doesn't look like there's a way to go forward from here.
I would say that this is a direct consensus of the way that those folks in the subcommittee felt. But at the end of the day, there is a much larger cross section of folks within that neighborhood association of 8,700 homes. You know, that will have very you know, degrees of opinions on this. And at the end of the day, I think the position that this group took was that we realized that the focus of the RAB is to promote economic development utilizing the railroad. And if there was a consensus that the group wanted to come to as an option one, that is what they want to focus on for the livability and what basically the greater Brush Ferry Hawkinson neighborhood might look like, you know, in 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. So that's that's where they came to that conclusion. Now, I would say that option two and the alternatives to option one, you know, basically came about in the discussion of looking at this from a macro view for the benefits of the county, the benefits for North County residents, private industry, so on and so forth, and realizing that there might be, you know, ways to maneuver and support the livability of residents within the neighborhood association, while still obviously moving in the direction of having the railroad, you know, be a tangible asset that obviously you guys are pushing for and have pushed for many years.
Yeah, because that's the part of I didn't understand about option two, because, you know, like, for instance, Lagler, if Lagler is developed, then none of the trains go through Brush Prairie. But if the development goes north of Brush Prairie, like they proposed in option two, then every single train goes through Brush Prairie. And that would seem to increase the amount of impact in Brush Prairie as opposed to developing the Lagler property.
And that discussion that we had had revolving around potentially moving the track, I believe going south through the Lagler property, going, what would that be, east through the Lagler property, was kind of, you know, an interesting option that the group looked at in regards to, you know, potentially trying to mitigate the impacts, you know, around, you know, that area. And I think at the end of the day, option two was initiated by having a conversation around what is the least amount of impact if this is to all go through, and obviously change the landscape of what the Hawkinson Brush Prairie area might look like. You know, what can we push for to try and support, you know, to mitigate those impacts?
Okay, I understand.
So that was